Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open them with me to the book of Mark in the first chapter. Maybe you've heard it said that the job of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Have you heard that? Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That's exactly what I am going to try to do this morning. Knowing that we're always utterly dependent on God. And so, here's how we're going to do that. We're going to say there's three movements this morning that we're going to see in this text. The first one is, we want you to face what's keeping you from God, or face what is separating you from God. Face what's also separating you from other people. And as a metaphor, we're going to see leprosy being what separates us from God. It's a metaphor for our sin, okay? So face your leprosy or face your sin. Then we're going to say, okay, where is Christ's healing in this passage? Come to Christ for healing from your leprosy or from your sin, from what's separating you from God, separating you from people. So face it, come to Jesus for cleansing, and then we're going to afflict you with mission. And say, okay, if we're following Jesus' example and he touches, heals, has pity on lepers, what does that mean for us? So, facing our leprosy, coming to Jesus is comfort. It is a way for us to be well and whole and find we're right with God and right with his family, which is the church. And just so you're not caught off guard by this, we are going to do an altar call this morning when we say, face your stuff and come to Jesus for cleansing. We're going to ask you to, if this is you, if this is what you need, then I'll be on this side, Becky will be on that side, and we'll pray with you and help you know, help you feel, help you experience Christ's cleansing. Just so you know that's coming. So we're in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and we read, "And a leper came to him." Now, you're not going to experience the full weight of this passage of facing your leprosy until you really get, feel, experience what it was like to be a leper in the first century. So we need to work on this for a couple minutes together. So we're going to practice saying this together, okay? I'm going to say the white stuff, and then together you and I are going to say the burnt orange stuff. So what does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. Okay, what does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. Good, we've got it. Now, let's talk about leprosy then, the disease of leprosy. Now, in the ancient world, they had a hard time differentiating sometimes between different skin diseases. So one scribe lists 72 different ailments that were contained in leprosy. So we think of leprosy as various eruptive skin diseases. So sometimes it's skin discoloration. Sometimes it's bleeding, pussing sores. Sometimes it's one thing. Sometimes it's another. It's a lot of different skin diseases were summed up in, gathered up in this word leprosy. This is sometimes called Hansen's disease now, which is where you get the skin discoloration, you lose body parts like ears and noses and fingers and toes. That's Hansen's disease is traditionally thought of as leprosy. That existed then, but they also saw other kinds of skin diseases as leprosy as well. So this is then Hansen's disease. There was disfiguration of the skin and the loss of body parts. So when you think of leprosy, you want to think of the disease itself, which was the eruptive skin disorders, but worse than that was the social alienation that went along with the disease. So let's read this together after we remember, okay, what is leprosy? What does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside, okay? So Leviticus 13, verse 45, the leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes. All right, so you just in case you can hide your leprosy, they don't want you to do that. They want you to wear torn clothes. So we're going to get as close to leprosy as we can here and try to experience this. And let the hair of his head hang loose. I don't have anything for that. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, I know I would. So let his hair hang loose and shall cover his upper lip. All right, you ready to read the orange stuff? And cry out, unclean, unclean, okay? He shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. What does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. Now, I tend to think that this is to keep them from infecting the rest of the camp. They were outside, and that's why God gave them this rule. But God also used leprosy to punish sin. So with Miriam, with Gehazi, with Uzziah, leprosy is a punishment for sin. So not only did people come to think of leprosy as contagious or as something you want to stay away from so you don't get infected, they would also look at people who had leprosy and say, well, you have that, maybe, probably, because God is punishing you for a sin. So leprosy is a disease. It's also, maybe worse, social alienation, isolation. So what does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. It means you're on the outside. So as they think about this and they think, okay, it's this disease that, and this is, the quote we're going to look at is going to be describing Hansen's disease, or what's traditionally known as leprosy. It's this disease that is a lot like sin. God uses a punishment for sin, and it works a lot like sin. So we read this quote, leprosy was the outward and visible sign of the innermost spiritual corruption. Okay, so God strikes you with leprosy because that is a fitting sign or metaphor for what's going on really on the inside of you, is how people would look at it. Maybe not true, but it's how they would look at it. So it was a fit emblem in its small beginnings. Think of sin, okay? Its gradual spread. Think of sin. Its internal disfigurement. Its dissolution, little by little, of the whole body. Think of how sin destroys us little by little, how it's slow in its development, but it keeps growing. Of that which corrupts, degrades, and defiles man's inner nature. How sin destroys you from the inside out and renders him unfit to enter the presence of a pure and holy God. And so they started to think of lepers as polluting the people of God, as a pollutant or an infection in the people of God. What does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. So when you think of people as a pollutant, when you think of people as contaminating you or contaminating the people you love, what do? Well, some rabbis had a solution. One rabbi would not eat an egg purchased in a street where there was someone with leprosy because he doesn't want to be polluted. He doesn't want to be contaminated. Another rabbi threw stones at lepers in order to keep them away. Imagine that. You have a bleeding, pussing sore. You're begging. You come to this guy, and he's throwing rocks at you. And he's a teacher of the law, showing other people how to be a follower of God. Can you imagine that? What does it mean to be a leper? It means you're on the outside. To feel the full weight of this passage, the offense of the leper's action is immediately apparent. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and a leper came to him. Lepers aren't supposed to come to anyone. Do you feel that now? Lepers are not supposed to come to people. The lepers were required to stand at a distance of 50 paces. That's a long ways. 50 paces. If a leper's entrance into a house contaminated it, or his standing under a tree polluted anyone who passed under it, then this leper's approach compromises Jesus' ritual cleanliness. The leper has to know that he's about to pollute Jesus. Isn't that why some people stay away from church? I don't want to go and pollute church. How does that work? Well, look at the passage with me. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, and said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." One thing about an eruptive skin disease, there's no hiding it. You mean? One thing about fingers and toes and ears and noses rotting and falling off, there's no hiding it. I mean, you have to face it. Other people are facing it. You pretty much have to face it. See, for you and I, though, it's much easier to hide our stuff. You know, we might not have a disease that rots our flesh, that erupts in bleeding and pussing sores. We might have a past that when we think of it, it's just overwhelming shame, crushing guilt. It's that stuff you look back on and you think, there's no way, God. There's no way he's going to love me. It's that stuff you look back on and your face just feels hot. You ever experience it? Your face just feels hot and you just start to sweat and you just think, I can't believe I did that. I hate myself. I hate myself. I hate myself. It's that past that we hate. We try to distract ourselves from, so we don't have to think about it. We don't have to remember it. We don't have to face it. I'm asking you to face that and bring it to Jesus. We might not wear rags, you know, like a leper. We might not cover our upper lip and cry out unclean. When you've got a past like this, you learn how to keep people at a distance. You learn how to stiff-arm people because you don't want them to get too close and know what's going on the inside. Better to be a little bit inside, you know, a little bit inside the group, a little bit accepted, a little bit known, than to be really known and cast out as unclean and be an outsider. You know, people don't throw rocks at us, but we wonder if they would, if they really knew. I'm asking you to face this and bring it to Jesus. Because sometimes I think we identify with what the leper is saying here. He's saying, I know you can. All right, it's not a question of whether or not you can. I know you can make me clean, but will you? It's like he's lived with this leprosy, this disease, for so long. He sees himself as an outsider now. He sees himself as outside the camp. And this is fundamental to who he is now. I am an outsider. I am leprosy. I mean, leprosy has become part of his identity. So why would you want to heal somebody like me? Sometimes when you and I look back at our past, we can say these same things to God. We can think these same, I know we could, but would he? Well, let's see. Verse 41, and moved with pity. Oh, all right. Moved with pity. Now it's like slow motion. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Okay, so here's this outsider risking everything to come to Jesus. Jesus looks at him, has pity on him, and touches him. Now, this is shocking for a lot of different reasons. This leper has not had human contact for as long as it's been known that he's had the disease. And you're expecting Jesus to become ritually unclean, right? You're expecting him to become contaminated because he's touching the leper. But what happens? It works the opposite way. The leper becomes clean. Instead of Jesus becoming unclean, the leper gets cleaned. You don't have to worry about contaminating God or contaminating the church. You come to God. You come to his body to be clean, to get clean. You don't clean yourself up before you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus to get clean. And the word clean here, you can't just run by the word clean. All other diseases get healed. Everything else, blindness gets healed. Being crippled or lame gets healed. Deaf, mute gets healed. Even demons get healed. Only leprosy gets cleansed. That's the kind of sins we're dealing with today. That's what you need to experience cleansing from today. But you don't have to, right? I mean, you know you don't have to. I mean, you can keep telling yourself you're not dirty, couldn't you? I mean, you could keep telling yourself, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I just don't think I'm that bad. Okay, who are you kidding? Let's just be honest. Who are you kidding? Well, why are you hiding stuff then? Why do you tell the little white kind of half-truths to cover things up then? Let's just be honest about being dirty. So, I mean, you don't have to come to Jesus for healing. You don't have to face your stuff. You can keep telling yourself you're not sick or you're not dirty. You can tell yourself that, well, I'll just clean myself. I'll do enough good things. I'll do enough good works. I'm going to outweigh my sickness or my disease. And I, okay, you're not serious about that. I mean, you haven't really read the Bible then. Have you? I mean, have you really? I can't find that in here. I can't find where that is possible or true. There's no cleansing for yourself. If you could cleanse yourself, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die and shed his blood for your cleansing. So he said, what are the other options to coming to actually facing it and coming to Jesus for cleansing? And we said, well, you can say you're not dirty, or you can try to be clean by yourself. The one that I think is the most pernicious, the worst, and probably the most common for people like us, is I'm just going to try not to think about it. I mean, I don't want to go through the pain of actually facing it. The humiliation, the awfulness of actually facing what I've done. I don't want to go through the humiliation of coming to Jesus for cleansing. So what I'm going to do is do my very, very best to forget about it. And so we plug in to our music, we have the TV blaring, and we have Facebook going all at the same time while we talk on the phone. And we just stay as radically crazy busy as we can so we don't have to think about it. We work and we work and we work, and then we play and we play and we play, and we work very hard at never having silence so we never have to go back and face it. I don't have to tell you, though, that this is hell. Hell meaning separation from God. It's separation from God because you're not actually really facing your sins and then coming to Jesus for cleansing. So you're separated from God willfully, and you're just trying to distract yourself from that. Not only that, hell because it's miserable. You can't enjoy the music, you can't enjoy the TV, you can't enjoy the Facebook, you can't enjoy the work, you can't enjoy your play, because it's all just a bad, pale distraction. You can't really be where you are because you're always someplace you're not, and you're always distracting, you're always trying to stay busy to keep from honestly facing it and bringing it to Jesus. I say these things to you as a comfort, as painful, as horrible as it is to face it, and as humiliating as it is to bring it to Jesus and ask him for cleansing, it's the only way out. There is no other way to be clean. And you'll have such relief once you come to Christ for cleansing. And you stop working so hard in your mind at denying it or lying to yourself, telling yourself you're not that bad. It's hard work mentally to maintain a lie. So that's the comfort side of things. Face it and bring it to Jesus. Now, as we said earlier, we're going to afflict you with vision, because some of you have that down, and some of you, it's going to be helpful for all of us, I think, to look at Jesus long and hard and how he handles this leper here. So, verse 43, and Jesus sternly charged him. Now, this is, in the Greek, this is very, very strong language. Sternly charged him, and you could translate it, drove him away at once. And said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. All right, so what's going on with the secrecy thing? Why does Jesus You can almost hear anger in his voice as he sternly charges them not to tell anyone, and then as he drives them away. And what's going on with the secrecy thing? Well, Jesus, number one, is not ready to face down the religious elite in Jerusalem yet. He's not done preaching yet. He's not ready to die yet. So he tells them to go and offer them as proof of his cleansing, but he doesn't want to attract the kind of attention you will attract when you can heal leprosy yet. So what happens? The guy goes and tells everyone, there's this guy who can heal leprosy. Look at me. I'm clean. And all of a sudden, it all happens. Jesus is so, there's crowds are surrounding him so much, he can't even go into towns anymore. So he has to stay out in the wilderness. Jesus wanted to preach. But as we look at Jesus, how Jesus treats this leper, and we say, okay, we're going to be followers of Jesus. We're going to say, all right, well, that means that we need to follow Jesus' example. I just like, you know, when I look back at verse 41 with me, I mean, do you see people and are you ever moved with pity for them, towards them? You know, I don't want our hearts to be cold toward people. If we're Christ-like, we're developing his heart for people, and we're seeing people who are hurting and broken, that it's not going to help our reputation to be around them. And we have pity on them. We love them. And the next idea here is Jesus touched the guy. Healing, safe, touch. We were in a small group a while back. Actually, I guess it was a community a while back. And we were teaching on a passage like this. And Heather Decker actually shared how when she was at Maple Lawn, she grew up at Maple Lawn Baptist Church and did the kind of the prodigal daughter type thing and kind of left God, left her family, left the church, and then was, you know, away for a while and then comes back to her family, back to God, back to church. And Heather tells how she, coming to church, she just felt like she had the open, bleeding, pussing sores of leprosy. Like, she just felt like, you know, like the leper that you see all wrapped up and hobbling in on crutches. She felt this. But then Heather explained that what helped that go away, what helped her know she was cleansed, was when all the old people that knew her before she left came up, and they are all giving her big hugs. Every Sunday, big hug. Every Sunday, big hug for Heather. And Heather said, the touching was part of the healing. We're talking about safe, healing, culturally appropriate touching. Okay? I don't want any of you claiming greet one another the holy kiss and kissing my wife on the lips on the way out, right? We're talking about safe, culturally appropriate, healing, touching. I mean, it's part of it. Pity, touching the untouchable type, or touching the people who are far from God, the safe, healing touches, and then cleansing, helping them know. I mean, how are they really going to be clean without knowing about Christ's forgiveness? About knowing about his resurrection. Right? So what do we want you to do? And what do we want you to do based on this passage here? We want you to first ask, okay, who is God calling me to reach? Like, who do I need to be there for? Who should I have pity on? Who should I feel compassion for? And second, and this has been the burden of what we've been saying, what do you need to face? What's been keeping you from God? What makes you stiff-arm people because you don't want them to get too close to you? We're asking you to bring that to Jesus for cleansing. Come to Jesus and be clean. You don't have to, but why wouldn't you? Why would you hold on to it? Why would you wait? Face it and be clean. I mean, did you catch it? Did you catch the picture of how Christ takes our sin upon himself and offers us cleansing in this passage? So in verse 45, starting in the beginning, the leper, just now, because we've repeated it several times, what does it mean to be a leper? It means to be on the outside. And so you know the leper was on the outside. You know the leper had to stay outside of everyone, that people looked at him and thought of all kinds of things. I mean, he's on the outside, okay? The leper's on the outside in the beginning of the passage. Then look what happens at the end of the passage. He goes out and does exactly what Jesus says not to do. So Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the desolate places. The leper gets to go in, and Jesus has to go out. Jesus is out because of our sins. He takes our sins upon himself, and so he's on the cross with our sins upon himself, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he's offering us, as he's atoning for or covering our sins. This is what John is writing about in his letter, and he writes, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from most sins. That's not what it says, is it? From all of our sins. Even the ones that feel like leprosy, that there's no cure for. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. We are all lepers, whether we'll admit it or not. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. He's like, look, we are all lepers, and here is the cure. So we know, I mean, that's why this is true. This is why we aren't outsiders anymore, because Christ went on the outside for us on the cross, forsaken by God for us, so that we could be part of his body, which is the church. This is why we want you to come and identify with Jesus' death, identify with his burial, so that you can be on the inside, cleansed from your sin. On the inside of Christ's resurrected body. Because this is true, because we're cleansed by his blood, we're going to sing some songs about that. And I think you'll get the most out of singing these songs if we do a quick preview, okay? So we're going to sing, Jesus Paid It All. We're going to sing, Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots. Think of the spots or the stains of your sin. Think of the bleeding, pussing sores, which are our sins. Only you can change that and the power of your resurrection and melt a heart of stone. As for maybe for years we've been lying to ourselves, lying to other people, lying to God about this, and we're saying, God in his power can change us. We're going to sing verse 2. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. White as snow coming from Psalm 51, where David has blood on his hands. Literally, Uriah's blood on his hands as he kills the woman he's been committing adultery with. He kills her husband. So he thinks he's getting away with murder. And he's just faced, he finally has to face down the guilt of this sin. And he prays this prayer in Psalm 51 as he's facing his sins, finally, and coming to God for forgiveness. That's where that line comes from. He comes to Christ for cleansing. We're going to sing Nothing But the Blood. We're going to sing, For My Pardon, This I See. Like, this is the only pardon, forgiveness of sin I have. I don't see anything else. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is it. There's no more self-cleansing, no more denial. All I can see is Jesus' blood that will wash me clean. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then we're going to finish with In Christ Alone. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath, also think justice, the just wrath of God for our sin was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. Will you face it? Will you come to Jesus for cleansing? If you'd like someone to pray with you, while we sing, Becky will be on this side. I will be on this side. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends gathered here. And Lord, I pray that we would stop running. We would stop denying. We would stop trying to distract ourselves. But that we would just face it all the way to 10. So that we can be clean all the way to 10. Help us come to you humbly. Help us come to you needing, wanting, desiring your cleansing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.